Do you have a dog?
My dog died.
This is on the record.
January 1st at 3:30 in the morning.
Time to.
I cried for a year.
Time for. Call to order. Policy meeting on this April 6th. Hi, Margie.
Hey.
We are just getting started, so you're right on time.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. So first, I guess in here we have Drayson, Dr. Driggers, we have Donna and Tony and myself. So we're official, have a quorum. All right, so first up, we have two items on the agenda tonight, both second reading. First up is the new member orientation. There are no changes since our last board meeting. Several of these changes we made in response to our discussions. Want to open up and see if anybody has any discussion, questions, comments? I'll start with you, Donna. I know you're looking at your calendar, but if you
the new member orientation?
Yes.
Yeah. The only thing that I was thinking, and I've appreciated this and all the work you've done on this, should it say new school board orientation? New school board member or just new member? I'm fine with whatever y'all decide. But I thought it might be a little more.
You know what? I think that'd be fine. It might give a little bit of clarity to everybody who looks.
Yeah.
If they can't notice off the top of their head what a member
is. That was the only thing that really caught me.
That's fine. I mean, we could say board member or
whatever y'all.
Yeah, I think that's something that's probably fair. We'll figure out what we call them board members down on.
Yeah, new board members. Yeah.
I think that's fine. Any other comments? Oh, Claire's here. Welcome. Lydia, do you mind grabbing another copy?
Thank you. Sorry.
Yep.
Any comments on the new board member orientation
policy? No, I did not have
any. Okay. Well, then... we're adjourned. No, we're not adjourned yet. So. Just giving you a hard time. All right. So the second policy up for discussion, second reading, is the Code of Conduct 6.300. We did, if we can, we can walk through a couple of the changes that were, let's see, I'm trying to think. Both of these were all here for the board meeting, right? We haven't made anything since the board meeting.
That's correct. Okay. The red is the change from the last
meeting, and this was the changes that were proposed. The blue was proposed for the last meeting.
That's correct.
So essentially what we've done is we've stricken a paragraph in the opening and kind of put a bit of a preamble just to call it talking about purpose. I don't think this was that. So this first paragraph, I'm trying to think of the conversation that went into this, but I don't.
Yeah, I think I have a thumbnail of it. The discussion was that mediation, as an example, shouldn't be the only thing. And so... some of those that item in school level interventions were lined out and included in the paragraph in red to replace the old one, basically to say that that can be a part of the interventions or consequences.
That makes sense. Okay, so we're.
And then substantively, the big one was skipping class was moved from level one to level two.
That's right. And then we. Well, even before the policy started, the wording in blue was there, so we had that there for our discussion at the last policy meeting.
That's right. So the skipping was broken into two different potentials: leaving campus without permission, or urging other students to engage.
Yeah.
And skipping.
And just for recollection, that second one was actually in the. That was in another. That was the language that we took out of the other policy. The class disruption policy. That language was in the class disruption policy. In terms of being skipping or urging others to do so. Does anybody have any want to discuss this one further?
I have a question for Lee. You're there. Good. I saw you walking back and forth. Yes, wait, you're right there. And the page 1, line 10, any mediation and restorative conferences should be facilitated by school administrator between the student and who misbehaved and the students or others who were harmed by misbehavior. I know when we talked about this like a year or two ago, we talked about sometimes it's not appropriate because you want to protect those who don't. Do we want to use that verb should be or may turn it to maybe so then it doesn't seem like it's mandatory? I would love to hear what y'all thought.
I'll give you my first thought, and Dr. Webb, you can fill in. I feel like we've addressed that in that first sentence when it says administrators
are
encouraged
right.
when appropriate. Okay. But to your point, yeah, it's pretty clear that bullying behaviors are not appropriate for a mediation. If you have a perpetrator and a victim, if it's a kind of a dispute between equals and one of them ended up with a
right.
you know, with a consequence, it may be appropriate. Dr. Webb?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is that we do want it to be a school administrator or someone who's trained in some of those restorative
right.
conferencing kind of protocols
mm-hmm.
to lead those. So however it's worded, I agree with Jason. I was going to say the same thing, but I do want it to say it should be, it shall be,
okay.
administrator
okay.
or appointed designee.
Okay, I trust you guys on that. So that was one of the things when I was looking over it this afternoon that I just wanted to protect those, and I know you guys are on the same page too. I just wanted to.
When are the restorative conferences? When are they appropriate? What type of bullying or?
In some cases, when there is a clear indication that I wasn't intending to do harm to this person, and I'm truly sorry for it. In those cases, yes. If you and I are friends and we get a fight, verbal altercation, and then we calm down and it's time to, we're going to go back and we're going to be in in-school suspension together, or we're going to be at the ALC together, or we're going to be back in class together tomorrow because we just had an argument in the hallway. And we calm down and we just need to kind of get right with each other because we're going back to English class tomorrow. In those situations, it's appropriate. In some cases, it's rare that I'm quickly able, I've been bullying someone for a long-term basis, or if it's a race-based attack, it's rare that I'm ready to sit down and talk to the person I'm victimized. You know, that's tricky.
Mm-hmm.
So we proceed with exceptional caution in those situations. And if we feel like that the person who's the perpetrator, or the one who's kind of going after the other kid, is truly in the right mindset to be restored, it might be a situation where that occurs, but that's why we want to make sure it's someone who's trained, who understands the protocols and can go down that path. Otherwise, there are a lot of situations where we just wrong each other, or maybe I take something from you and I didn't realize how it was going to impact you. That it would be appropriate for me to have those restorative conversations.
But that's not one of the disciplinary actions. We wouldn't call it a disciplinary action, student. Participate in a restorative.
That's right, yeah. That's why, and it never has been our intention that's the sole thing that happens when I get in trouble. It's only a restorative conference. It's something that happens when appropriate in addition to the school consequence. We still believe that it's appropriate if I've broken a rule there's a natural consequence according to these levels that happens.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it's appropriate for that, either a mediation, because maybe it's not a full-blown restorative conference, we just need to kind of mediate this friction between these two kids, and then other cases, a full restorative conference that takes place.
And
in addition to the consequences.
How many individuals in the district do we have that are, like, I guess, trained in the restorative practices?
Yeah, most of our school counselors and school administrators have been through some level of it. The intense train the trainer training, we have at least two individuals, one that leads counseling and one that leads the ALC. Those two administrators are trained the trainer level. But there are many of us who've gone through the 3 and 5 day protocols, but most administrators and most school counselors.
Okay, awesome.
So Lee, what would, so I see to Drayson's point, the mediations have been taken out as disciplinary options in and of themselves, but what is school level intervention? And what was that in the, it was a level one disciplinary option.
So that can look a lot of different ways. Let me think of an example. So maybe I need to put some kind of like school level intervention in place that kind of keeps you from whatever temptation to do, whatever behavior it is that is an issue for you specifically. I'm thinking the examples that immediately come into mind are students maybe are served with an individualized plan of some sort, like an IEP and a behavior plan aspect. But there are some cases where a general education student who isn't served by one of those plans may have some kind of school level intervention that takes place, such as maybe I have trouble getting to class on time. Or leaving class to go to the bathroom and I don't come back. You know, I'm gone the whole class period. So there may be some school level interventions that are kind of put in place to keep me on track from breaking the school rule.
So that we will, it's not that, I mean, we crossed it out here. It's not that that can't happen. That's just not the discipline. That's the only consequence.
And then in our prior version, you know, we had, you know, one or more of these with the intention of you're going to choose a consequence, but you may also choose a school level intervention, or you may choose mediation to go with it, or at one point we had restorative conference down there.
Right.
But we just started to pull those out so that it's super clear to everyone who reads this. The intention is if you violate a rule, you're going to have a natural consequence that takes place, but there could be instances when appropriate that you have these other things that accompany that instead of it saying choosing one or more from the list.
So school level intervention might be in part to prevent that from happening again. You might have check in with an administrator,
right,
or something like that.
Check in with your mentor.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's some kind of little bit more restriction during your school day.
And then from as far as translating this from policy to delivery, execution, you take this and you massage it and put it into more of an SOP for both in the student handbook and then for administrators, right?
Yes. So like today, as an example, I just scheduled our summer discipline handbook meeting with all principals. So we'll meet this summer. We'll review all of our discipline data from the school year. We're going to review any new policies like I already have on my list. We're going to talk about skipping class. And we have about 8 or 9 things that we're consistent across the board on. Like, if there's a fight, we're consistent. If there's a school threat, we're consistent among all schools. We're adding skipping class to that. Didn't recognize until this school year that we had so much variance. So we're adding skipping class to that. So even though we have the code of conduct that puts it in buckets, we're going to talk about all the different ways kids skip class during the school year. And then how we're going to be consistent across all schools in middle and then all schools in high. And so we do put that discipline framework together with a lot of detail for administrators for guidance. And then we put that on the in the student handbook that's linked to every school website so that parents and students can kind of see it there too. It has less dialogue and is more chart-based. But then the discipline handbook for administrators has a little bit more guidance to it.
Jay, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I know we've mentioned it before. I'm not sure where it is. Kids walk out of school,
There's no damage, there's no injury, there's nothing. They just protest because they're young. Where is the consistency in the punishment? One school has 100 kids walk out, another school has 30 kids walk out. You have one principal who doesn't really enforce it, and then you've got another principal, I won't mention her name, she would enforce it. So where does it say if you do a walkout, if detention is determined, not less than 3 hours of detention, but normally not more than 5 hours of detention unless you're the ringleader. Something, is that down in the principal's handbook or something?
It'll be, yes, those are the conversations that we'll have this summer, and then okay. We'll tighten it up. So based on this it'll be in our discipline administrator's handbook, and then that will be transposed into the student handbook, where it says explicitly, if you leave class without permission and stay on campus as an example.
No, it's fine, it'll be there.
Here's the consequence, and if you leave class without permission and leave campus, get in your car and you go somewhere else, like what the consequences are.
Yeah, we'll hear from the mothers if the children get different discipline for the same offense.
That's right.
That's part of what drives your work regularly, too, because everybody knows everybody. I just want to make sure that everyone understands here, this change to the policy raises the basement level floor for discipline. It raises it because it does not. It will no longer include a verbal reprimand. It has to be more than a verbal reprimand.
No, that's a thing.
And so, I know we. I mean, this was largely kind of. I mean, this is what happens, right? So something extraordinary takes place that kind of wasn't contemplated in policy, really, and we just kind of figure out how to address it. With respect to the kind of several iterations of the kind of mass skipping events that happened over the spring to kind of warrant this change, has all the discipline been applied now? Like, I know for like when we were first here, the couple of the schools were still kind of reviewing.
Right. An event had just happened. That's right.
Yeah.
All those pieces have been closed down. So there's two things we typically look at in the summer, like total infractions. You know, we have the certain things that we're tight on, and how we make the determination of what do we need to become tight on. You know, consistent versus schools having some discretion on. Given just enough consequences to change whatever behavior pops up in their building, because it's a, you know, kids do new things every day, you know, so you want to give good solid guidance, have some good solid judgment, and then other things we're going to have to be tied on to change behaviors. Bullying and harassment is something that we've talked about and need to be tied on. So we'll look at new policies, we'll look at trends in the data. Where do we see that the consequence isn't change of behaviors? We have kids who are doing the same things over and over, different kids, you know, so that's a sign to us that whatever consequences that we're given across either certain schools or across the district isn't doing its purpose, which is to change student behavior because kids are repeating it. You know, we look at those kinds of pieces. We look at, we hear from administrators, say, what kind of problems are you having this year? What kind of new issues are occurring that maybe our current handbook isn't really contemplating? There's a reason why in the code of conduct that you guys have put examples in there, because new things happen every single day. So we talk about what are some of those new things, where do they fall, and do we need to address things differently in our education, in our parent education, in our handbook itself? Do we need to get more consistent across the district and stomp out some behaviors, you know, those kinds of things?
Well, I wanted to be able to, we got several people kind of looking at it from the outside in, and it's easy to do because there's, you know, we never advertise student discipline, and we can't, even when pressed, somebody asks, well, what did you do to this person? Like, it was, all I can say that it was addressed, and we handled it appropriately
with a reference to the policy,
right? Yeah. And so, but you can't say, oh, well, that kid got that punishment and this kid got a different punishment, which might be true. It might be true,
yeah.
For the same infraction, just because of this is the kid's first time ever doing this, and this is, you know, a multiple offender or whatever.
Those are hard conversations, and you guys know it because you have them. I just left one literally 5 minutes ago where a parent is concerned that their child received one consequence, and they want to know, did a child at another school who did the same thing have the same consequence? That answer may be yes. That answer may be no. And that answer may be no, but it was appropriate. You know, and that's hard. It's hard to see and understand from a parent's seat, and it's hard to explain when you can't really give all the details about the other child and all the things at play for that child.
Sure.
It's a hard line to walk, but it's certainly understandable if a parent asking the question and not really understanding when you see something different happening.
This is kind of open up to Jason Lee, but so just looking back and seeing how this progressed as in terms of, you know, a lot of kids skip school and then, you know, a couple iterations later, they figured out, okay, well, if we just send in a note, then we're not skipping school anymore. But do y'all have any concerns with the way that kind of the protests happened from a, is there anything we can do to just protect the district? And I mean, did they seem to kind of move off campus safely, and that kind of thing to where this kind of accomplishes the goal? Because I mean, from my perspective, you know, we can't limit free speech. We can't talk about. Can't talk about the content of why they're leaving. Like, this is something tangible that we can do to just promote them to stay in class. But, you know, I'm just wondering, like, look, hindsight, yeah, looking towards the future, what else could
happen? I think, number one, it resolves what Dr. Webb mentioned already, which is that variation in discipline. We had one school that had a lower discipline than all the others because of the discretion. It raises that floor, and now they're going to be consistent, and it gives us a point of emphasis. I will say the one potential concern down the road is we did have some students who said, in essence, I want that discipline because this one matters enough to me that I want that consequence. So that's still going to be discussed among the administrators because, again, the goal is to have a consequence that's sufficient to encourage the students not to engage in the behavior. So that is the one concern that's still on my mind when a student says, in essence, it matters enough to me that I want to have to face that discipline.
I know a kid that once said, take your best shot.
Yeah, and it wasn't that bold, the ones we've heard, but it was. In essence, because I'm wanting to call attention to this issue that matters to me, I want the consequence that goes with it.
It's like it's worth it to them,
yeah,
type of thing.
That kind of dovetails into one of my questions is, for example, behavior modification. I mean, I know what that means, but isn't everything underneath it an example of behavior modification, or does that give you guys more discretion? Do y'all like that there because then it gives you more discretion, or do we need that there? I would love to... You know your thoughts on that. And
yeah, when I see behavior modification, I'm thinking about behavior plans, and we certainly have behavior plans that are initiated through an individualized education plan through special education, but we also put behavior plans in place for general education students. So when I see behavior modification, I'm thinking about, you know, outside of consequences, are there other things that we need to put in place to change the student's behavior? And I'm thinking, Julie can kind of speak to this from her experience too, as secondary, but when I read that, I'm thinking a plan. How am I encouraging, outside of, in addition to consequences, what am I doing to change this student's behavior?
Yeah. And some, what, an
is
example
like
of
a BIP or behavior intervention plan?
It's kind of like that, that's right.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And we have,
You go.
We have at elementary recently started having some behavior academies when we're being seeing some trends across districts, like, or across schools, or across classrooms, sorry, that we maybe too much touching, right? We're not keeping our hands to ourselves. And so if I'm a repeat offender in that space, then I may go and get some direct instruction around that behavior.
Thank you for that.
So that gives us that leeway. While there may be a consequence, we're going to follow up because I'm demonstrating a need to have more intervention or direct teaching about the behavior.
So maybe some a tool to redirect to appropriate behavior.
Okay.
It might be on
that plan. We do that through in-school suspension as well, where we actually teach some behavior modification in addition to the consequence.
Well, so the question there would be, because you talked about that, you said a couple of times, in addition to other disciplinary actions, are you comfortable with having, because right now it just says that it shall, that the disciplinary actions have to include one or more of these options for a level two offense, and it includes behavior modification, I guess, as a standalone item. So
I see what you're saying.
So do we need to look at a way to make that? Would behavior modification ever be the single mode of discipline?
I think in regards to a student with a disability, potentially.
Okay.
So if we took that out, I would want to address special education in that intro paragraph as well.
And we had actually had that discussion after the first meeting,
right?
Because this language in this particular policy is silent on students with disabilities. You know, there's not a word that specifies that, but the idea is that all these are within the realm of fitting within all those rules. So it would take some adjustment.
If that's the only reason why that's there, I think I'd feel more comfortable removing it. It's not a disciplinary action. It's more of a remedy and a prevention of future action. And you're going to do that anyway because it's not discipline. But I think I might prefer to have a special at least a sentence or two in the intro to Jason, if you want to, y'all can take a shot at. We don't have to try to wordsmith it now, but I'd like to, because I think overall the. Any consequence that we have is gonna have to be addressed with and through the IEP team.
Yeah.
And so we need some caveat there.
And to Tony's point, those behavior intervention plans may supersede a particular discipline.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, the question is going to be, this has come up at board meetings, like I think every board meeting in recent memory, is when the student behavior is seemingly not being addressed, and we're not, nobody's saying that it's because of an IEP.
Because you can't say.
But everybody assumes that it is, and based on them being in class, all they can see is that they're not at ALC.
Yeah.
But, you know, and in that parent's mind, they have they've committed an offense that's worthy of. I mean, so one, you've got the judgment being placed without all the facts that you guys might have, but then. That then they're not seeing that related punishment. It's really hard because you can't tell them either.
Yeah.
But I just want to make sure that by having that in there, it's not we're not waiving the ability to be able to punish the students if it is. So I'd like to know how the IEPs kind of are. Influence the discipline, especially on the more serious offenses, because that's where it's more evident that the discipline according to a level three offense hasn't been carried out.
We can do that. Maybe at the very beginning is the most appropriate place, right after that red paragraph. I'm just thinking, you know, off the top of my head, we do have in our student suspension and expulsion policy some detail related to students with disabilities that specifically mentions like the 10-day rule. But we'll add a couple of sentences either there or at the back as a final Roman numeral. One of the two.
So if we add that, should we? Are you comfortable with taking away the behavior modification as a discipline?
Just a double check with Julie and Lee. Are there any other contexts where you would need behavior modification only? I can't think of any.
I can't think of an example.
Yeah.
If we had that caveat in regards to
okay.
special attorneys.
Jay?
For a
yes,
level
sir.
Two especially, yeah.
Sounds good.
If we break that out, I'm fine with that. I'm assuming that all these other disciplinary measures the parents know about. When we do behavior modification, are the parents a part of that? They come in and they sign down, you know, and they say, okay, I'm, that's fine. As long as the parents know,
absolutely.
No problem.
Know that it's happening or no?
Yeah, they call you
like
in and they say, your child,
yeah.
we believe it's best to have some behavior modification
absolutely.
Because of this, this, and this, because they probably already know it.
Yep.
And this is what we're recommending.
Yep.
And then you put it down, the parent says, yes, no, okay. You've got to get the parents signed up to this, otherwise.
Yeah, oftentimes they're involved in the process.
No,
yeah.
I think when it's discipline, they get involved. Mm-hmm. Behavior modification, if it's not discipline in some way, it's more kind of voluntary kind of stuff, then they would have to be a part of that plan.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, so I'm happy.
Okay.
So we'll delete that bullet.
Yeah, that sounds good. All right, well, I feel better having talked through that. Anybody else have any other questions around this one? Nothing. All right. Then I think we're done.
All right.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You
See you on Thursday.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Margie.
I think we
Margie.
Just set a record.
Bye.
Maybe not. Don't know.
Getting there.